Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, continue today on our series on how to lead folks to Christ. And today, last week we talked about one of the most important things we can do as a Christian is to have a conversation with someone. And that, as we talked with the kids a little earlier ago, that at some point will lead to where they are in their faith journey, maybe. Soul winning is the greatest work in the world. And God has, I want to say, and I use the word entrusted here, entrusted each of us with this incredible privilege, a privilege to share Christ. You agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, it's also a responsibility. You agree with responsibility? Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, even better. I thought maybe that would lie down just a little bit. Responsibility. We like privilege, but not responsibility sometimes. But privilege and responsibility to lead folks to Christ. Perhaps we should ask ourselves if we are actually concerned where folks are in their faith walk. And are we willing to do whatever God calls us to do to lead folks to Christ? We have to ask ourselves that because sometimes I think that we just kind of take it for granted. Last time we talked about salvation, and today we're going to talk about how to share the gospel. Now, what Connie read wasn't from the gospel. We're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through the scriptures. Evangelism is very important, and yet it can be sometimes a little scary, can't it? According to Mr. Webster, I like to go to Mr. Webster because he seems to be a very smart person, and we learn from him. But according to him, evangelism is the winning or revival of personal commitment to Christ. The entire book of James emphasizes faith in action, as in evangelism. In this morning's scripture that Connie just read, James tells us, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and will bring about forgiveness of sins. I like those words, and I like them no matter what translation you use, but I think it's so important. And he's telling us now, if you help me here, here's what's going to happen for other folks. Believing is more than just reading the gospel, isn't it? And believers are the hands and feet of the gospel, where faith and trust are actions. Some folks believe you need a seminary degree or maybe some other type of advanced training, if you will, in order to share God's word. Some folks believe there's a church on every corner and a pastor for every church. We know that is not true because there's not enough pastors. Amen? Anybody want to be a pastor? I can share with you how to do that. All right. I can share with you how to do that. We'll get started on you, okay? All right, cool. He's going to preach next week. But some folks actually believe there is no need for evangelism, especially when it causes us to get out of our comfort zone. How many like their comfort zone? Be honest, will you? We like our comfort zone. How many want to keep their hand in the air and say, I like getting out of my comfort zone? We don't like that, do we? We kind of like that. United Methodists believe this is our heritage. This is our tradition. It is what we sign up for when we join the church, when we agree to uphold the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Witness, evangelism, sharing Christ. John Wesley taught 4 primary perspectives of ministry. He taught field preaching. He taught Methodist societies, he taught class meetings, and he taught individual visitation. Now, through field preaching. Now, when we say field preaching, we think that we are outstanding in our field, right? The rest of you will get it later, okay? Field preaching. Through field preaching, early Methodist preachers and lay people took the gospel to wherever people may be. And it wasn't just limited to the fields as we know them. It took place in towns. It took place on town squares. It took place in churchyards. It took place in coal mines and any other place a crowd could gather. Now, though John Wesley initially resisted the idea that was actually introduced to him by George Whitefield, and as we learn Methodism, we know about those names, it seemed to take on sort of a greater importance in Methodism. For Wesley, field preaching became the primary means by which God is found of them that sought him not. I like the way they talked back then. You couldn't understand them then either, right? Yeah. God is found of them that sought him not. Let's think about that. One of the challenges we face in the church today is how do we take the gospel message to those who have no interest in it? You know, how do we tell people about God if they don't really want to know about it? Well, how do we share? How do we share, talk about God without being too timid or too pushy? Now, we all know that person that we call them, for the lack of a better term, we call them Bible thumpers. They got their Bible app with them no matter where they go. Right? You got it on the dash of the pickup truck. They got it in their purse. I don't carry a purse, but you got it in your purse. And those places, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a way to share Christ without beating somebody over the head with the Bible. Bo Crosetta, his name is a speaker at the campus college in the ministry at InterVarsity, about finding a balance between timidity and pushy. Now, in that, he says, the Bible teaches us that as a disciple, it is just as bad to be too timid as it is to be too pushy. He said, we must find the middle there, the middle between timid and pushy. If you want to have a spiritual conversation with someone, he says you need to start by thinking that the harvest is plentiful. And the harvest is plentiful right now, today. He says you are the person God is going to use. Not necessarily a friend, not necessarily a pastor. You are the person God is going to use. And God is going to use you today to lead someone to Christ. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure that's true. Well, let me tell you this, friends, if God wants it, it'll happen. Amen. It's going to happen. God will create the opportunity for you to share your faith story. And one question we can ask people is, what do you do when you're not working? What happens when you get off work? Maybe the weekend, some things like that. What do you like to do? How do you enjoy your time? Well, you'll hear answers like, well, I like old cars, or I like to fish, or I like playing golf, or I like reading a book, or cooking, or watch my kids play soccer, or football, or all kinds of sports. All of the things people really care about. And once that conversation gets underway, and I'm not beating this dead horse, but just once that conversation gets underway, the next thing you know, the subject about church or Sunday school comes up. It just happens, friends. If God wants it to happen, it just happens. You know, Connie, I apologize. I didn't give you a script this morning, but you did very well. We did well, and I'm not sure I would have done that well, but anyhow. The conversation gets underway, and the next thing you know, we're talking about it, right? That opens the door. That opens the door for a question. The next question says, oh, really? Well, where do you go to church? Or what church do you belong to? Or what church are you involved with? Where do you worship? We'll get answers like, well, I talk to God every time I'm on the golf course. If you don't believe me, go out on the golf course. You'll hear people talking to God all the time. Right? May not be the conversation we're thinking of. Now, folks will say, I talk to God when I'm in nature. One of the things that I enjoy doing, I just don't get to, is I enjoy sitting on the pond bank, if you will, or in a lake or in a boat or something like that. I like to go just take and I'm not big on walking, but just taking a walk in nature, no matter where it's at. One of the things that they did when I first entered the ministry and started seminary, they took us to Benedictine in Atchison. And our professors got us all off. We drove our own cars. We got down there, and they said, well, here's what we're going to do. They talked about the prayer time with the monks. They talked about the meals. And he said, what we want you to do is just go anywhere on a campus and be. Go and be. I thought we'd run into some beatniks at that time, you know. Just go and be. What do you mean be? I didn't know what they talked about. I learned real quick. I've been on around the farm in the country all my life. And once I just happened to walk out on a high place and overlook the river, and something came over me. And I felt a peace. I was in God's nature. I was in His creation. I'm also in His creation when I'm standing here this morning. I'm in His creation when I'm going to a football game or something like that. You know, I'm in His creation all the time. Some folks say, I talk to God when I'm quiet. Or I talk to God when I work, or when I see work in a team sport, in the hope that prayers are offered during the game. Now, it's kind of like golf. We know that all sports, people pray. Maybe not for the right thing, but they do. But if those people were talking to say to you, well, you know, I don't know that I've ever seen God in any of that. That gives you another door to open. You can ask, well, would you like to see or be able to see God in whatever you do, whatever you enjoy doing? And that continues the conversation. There is an urgency about sharing the gospel. I was teaching a youth confirmation class last year, and I think I shared this with you once before. I hadn't taught confirmation in over 30 years, so it was a new experience for me. If you have not taught junior high class, you need to. You will learn a lot. One of the questions that junior high students ask, why? You think I'm nuts, but try it, because they do. But we were talking about, this particular couple of weeks, we were talking about baptism one week, communion the next. And I asked them to share their thoughts on each. And each student had an idea of what baptism and communion meant to them, but they were hoping to get a better understanding throughout this class. So they wanted to know more. Well, we discussed what each meant and how holy baptism came through salvation and asking Jesus into our hearts. And I use the words like water and sprinkle and immersion and so on like that. And when we talked about communion, we talked about the remembrance of Christ and what He did for us. I used words like bread and body and wine and blood, and they all understood it. Methodists will understand this. When I said potluck, they had no idea what I was talking about. I said, well, give me what your feelings of potluck are. I heard words like leprechaun, lucky charms, clover, Irish. That's what I heard. they kind of got stuck. So I tried to give them some more clues as about potluck. Fried chicken. Plates. Mashed potatoes. Pie. And they still had that trouble understanding what it meant. One of the youth said they thought the word potluck had something to do with weed. And today I understand that. The reason I tell you that is, friends, apparently we have a generation that no longer gets the understanding of what a potluck fellowship meal is. And it causes me to wonder if we are just one generation away from losing the meaning of the gospel. Could be one generation. Scares me. It only takes one generation to fail to teach the next generation for a church to die. You agree with that? It really does. Is it possible that the church is dying because we are the generation that is failing to share the gospel? Now, we want to say, well, no, Pastor, we're doing that. We're here in church every week. Are we sharing the gospel? Your faith story, dear friends, your faith story is about how God changed you. How Jesus has impacted your life and your faith walk. Elijah, as she read a while ago, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't for 3.5 years. And then all of a sudden he prayed for rain, and it gushed down, a downpour. And it produced crops. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? You pray for it to rain, and it rains. You pray for it not to rain, it doesn't rain. But something we need to remember is that it was God and not Elijah that caused it to rain. Amen? How is God working in your life? How is he working in your life when you find yourself or a family member or a close friend in a struggle of some kind? Take some time to think about all the places in your life where God showed up right in the middle. Right in the middle of all your struggles. Think about when Jesus walked on water to pick you up and keep you from sinking. Where is God in the middle of our troubles? I find God throughout the Bible, but especially in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not be forgotten and should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians, Paul said, he did this to make all parts of the body work together. He did it work together smoothly, where each part was caring about the others. He said, if one part of our body hurts, we all hurt. And one part of our body is honored, the whole body will be happy. But my favorite, and if you walk in my office, even though it's kind of a mess right now, I'm getting things put back together, you'll notice on top of the file cabinet, I have something that my dear cousin made for me. It has my favorite verse on it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands, and be sure of this. He says, be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Are we really doing the things we believe in? How are you spreading the gospel? Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're on fire, and zero being, I really don't talk to anybody about believing or receiving. I don't do anything beyond the walls of Sunday morning church. I don't take part in any small group. I don't have any people I'm trying to build a relationship with, so I can't talk to them about Jesus. Where are you? I want you to ask yourself, I'm not asking you, you ask yourself this, where are you? If you said less than 10, what are you willing to do just to become one number closer to one? Perhaps that would be something to pray about when you come and receive Holy Communion here in just a little bit. Friends, we are only confined to our comfort zone by the wall we build around ourselves. I am convinced the biggest obstacle folks have coming to faith is our lack of sharing the gospel with them and the absence of a real conversation and an invitation to pray and accept Jesus Christ. So I have a question for you this week. I want you to ask yourself this question. How am I sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ? This week, welcomed all these children into our church to experience campfire light. Got a firefly. You probably wondered what that was, so I explained it to you. It's a firefly, right? Okay. I thought it was a bee, to be honest with you, but it is a firefly. I'm sorry. It just came out. But they learn how the light of Christ burns in our hearts. And now those children will be talking about what they experienced this week to their family and friends. And it's all because of several felt called to share Christ by volunteering, to provide education, to provide crafts and singing, meals and fellowship with these young folks. You may or may not have thought about it, but this, dear friends, is part of sharing the gospel. See how easy it is to share Christ with someone? Next week, we're going to continue this. We've talked about salvation. We've talked about sharing the gospel. And the next week, we're going to talk about forgiveness. So I would like for us to begin the week, if you will, by thinking about that and giving thought to salvation, gospel, and forgiveness as we prepare our hearts and minds to share the sacrament of Holy Communion.